Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education.
You're listening to Think on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. I'm Jeff Whittington, in today for Chris Boyd. So where do you go to get away from the hustle and bustle of urban life here in North Texas? Do you plan weekend camping and hiking trips or multi-week backpacking trips to decompress from life in the city? Full disclosure here, I'm an avid camper and hiker, and I usually travel pretty far afield to experience big mountains, wilderness, and the great outdoors. My guests this hour, though, have a different approach. And sure, they may take occasional trips to faraway places, but they're just as likely to be hiking a couple times a week in places just a few minutes away from where we're sitting right now in downtown Dallas. Places easily accessible by car, public transit, even on bikes, and places where they're likely to see a wide variety of plants and animals and very few people. I'm joined this hour by blogger, hiker, and photographer Ben Sandifer, who blogs at dallastrinitytrails.blogspot.com. Hiker and former Audubon Dallas staff member Dana Wilson, who currently works with the Texas Conservation Alliance and the North Texas Master Naturalist Program, and Bill Holston, who you might recognize as executive director of the Human Rights Initiative of North Texas. But Bill's also an avid hiker and naturalist, and he's written about hiking for D Magazine in the past, and I've learned that he has a piece in the upcoming April issue featuring photos by Ben Sandifer as well. Welcome all of you to Think.
Good afternoon,
Thank you.
Jeff.
Thank you.
Well, let's get started. We'll pretend like we know nothing about hiking, or we're starting from the basics. So, what do people need to have to get out and hike in the woods?
Feet.
And that's it.
Yeah.
All right. So, what do you take when you hike, though? What kind of gear are we talking about?
I would say I don't think a lot of gear is really necessary. I'd say the real fundamental things, like being prepared for weather, umbrellas, rain parkas, and water. That's probably the number one thing, is just making sure you're adequately hydrated. Beyond that, you can get things like binoculars, hiking poles.
Camera, Ben, you got to take your camera.
Cameras are always a good option to bring along so that you can document your trip. And I would strongly suggest, especially since we live here in a climate that's usually pretty hot, lots of water, a good pair of shoes. They don't have to be expensive hiking boots. They can be cross trainer shoes, tennis shoes that you might wear out to play soccer or an athletic event. And a sense of adventure, something that you can, a touchstone that you might want to accomplish for the day.
Dana, you've worked with newbie hikers at the Dallas Audubon sites down at you've been down at near the Jopal Lake down there,
exactly.
And at Trinity Audubon Center. Talk a little bit about the misconceptions people have when they are thinking about getting into hiking, and what do they really need to have to get out there and do it.
Well, I entirely agree with Ben's comment. A sense of adventure is the first thing to take. Water is the second thing, and I always encourage people to take a notebook or just a little small something to make their observations. It's so much easier just to look carefully in the field. Don't get too hung up with your field guides. Write down all the great things you see, and then you go home and you can explore. In terms of misconceptions, everyone's afraid of snakes. And let me just say that snakes don't like us any more than we like them. You're unlikely to encounter a snake, and if you do, shake a stick or throw a rock at it, and the snake will scurry away. People are afraid of poison ivy. And it's out there. Mm-hmm. But stay on your path. Don't touch a plant that you don't know, and you're going to be just fine. It's worth every piece of poison ivy you find for all the other great things you're going to see when you get out there in an open, wild space. It's worth the risk.
Well, let's talk about some of your favorite places. And a couple of you all sent me lists of some of your top destinations here in North Texas. Bill and Dana, Spring Creek Preserve made both of your lists. Talk about where that is and how people can find it.
Well, it's located at the – it's at, in Garland, and it's one of the Dallas County open spaces. So there's two roads that intersected Holford Road and Garland Avenue. And so – and the Friends of Spring Creek Forest have a website, which if you Google Spring Creek Forest at Garland, you can find that. There's parking areas on Holford. And there's a short paved trail there, but then beyond that, there's lots of just miles of dirt trails.
It's a pretty developed area in general up there because you got the President George Bush Tollway that went through a few years ago, and then you've got a lot of standard sort of retail and housing development. How did we end up with a place that was preserved this way?
Well, I was going to say, give real credit to the Dallas County government, which started the Dallas County Open Spaces Program back in the 70s. And there's, I think, 30 different places that have been preserved by Dallas County. They bought quite a bit of land back in the 80s, and this is one of them. I think local master naturalists had identified this as a unique forest, and it's actually quite unique. There's really old growth timber in there. 110, 115-year-old oak trees. And it's one of the few places, maybe anywhere, and certainly in the area, where you find the eastern chinkapin oak growing with the bur oaks and red oaks all in the same place. And very, very big trees. It's very unusual. People are usually quite surprised when they go into the forest, just what a beautiful place it is.
Dana, what do you love about Spring Creek?
Well, I think this particular space has something for everyone. There is the paved trail that Bill mentioned for people with strollers or if there's an accessibility issue. But there's some really wild and crazy areas sort of off to the east. And on the western edge, there is a nice dirt trail if you don't want to be touching concrete, but you want something a little more manicured. There's also a wonderful plant community. Fabulous flowering trees in the spring. The beautiful trout lilies that are blooming right now are all over the place there. So, you know, spring is here with the arrival of the trout lily, and that park really has something for everybody.
Now, we got to talk about the trout lilies because I was out there with y'all last month, I think, on a kind of a cold day. It wasn't too rainy before all the snow. And then I was down with some friends at Cedar Ridge Reserve, and we saw loads of trout lilies. And, Ben, I sent a link to your post about trout lilies to the friends I was hiking with because I was really fascinated by what we were talking about. Talk a little bit about the trout lilies and kind of what the significance of the trout lily is.
Trout lilies, especially in Texas, are quite rare, we think, due to the nature of how they propagate. So a trout lily, in order for it to flower from seed, it takes 6 to 7 years for it to develop its first flower and to successfully pollinate and then drop seed. Those seeds aren't carried by wind, aren't carried by birds. They're carried, we think, by ants. And what you end up with are these small areas, these small isolated trout lily colonies in Dallas County, which is almost ground zero for trout lilies in Texas. And they only come out, they're also called the dogtooth violet. They only come out really in late winter and early spring, and they're only up for a couple weeks. Their leaves resemble that of a brook trout. They're a mottled green and dark green in appearance. They only flower for a few days, and usually the flowers are only open from about 11 in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And they're real interesting to see, and they tell us a lot about areas that have never been disturbed. A lot of the places that we always cherish here in Dallas are the wildscape, untouched, undeveloped places that are that tell us about what the area used to look like before it was developed. So trout lilies are a really good indicator of that, especially in the late winter, and always put on a brilliant show at places like Spring Creek Preserve or Cedar Ridge Preserve and a few other places in Dallas. We only think that there are only about 100 trout lily colonies in the state of Texas across about 15 counties. And we're lucky here in Dallas County to have some of those places.
And they can be really old, right? These are sometimes thousands of years
right,
old.
Right. The colonies can be thousands of years old. And they could date back to the last glaciation. The glaciers never made it this far south, but back to a time when the ecosystem and environment here looked completely different than it does today.
Now, how do they survive the snow we had last week? Do they stand up to it, or does it affect them?
I saw a bunch yesterday. Mm-hmm. They seem to have weathered the snow just fine.
Yeah. I was at White Rock Lake and saw a great, big, beautiful colony looking fantastic across from the bathhouse.
We're talking about hiking and the wild places that you can explore here in North Texas this hour with Ben Sandover, Dana Wilson, and Bill Holston. We'd love to hear your favorite wild places as well. You can call us at 800-933-5372. You can send us an email to think@kera.org, or you can send me a tweet. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Ben, one of your favorite places that you talked about is the Buckeye Trail.
Correct.
Talk a little bit about where that is and what people can see there.
Well, in the next several weeks, the Texas Buckeyes, which are native to Texas, of course, will come into bloom probably sometime right around St. Patrick's Day towards the end of March. And the Texas Buckeye Trail is located in a cul-de-sac at the end of Bear Street. And we pronounce Bear here in Texas like the folks in San Antonio pronounce Bear County. So it's the Spanish pronunciation is Bejar, B-E-X-A-R. It's a 7,000 block of Bear Street in Dallas. And the trail to get to the Buckeyes, it's one of the oldest trails in the Great Trinity Forest. It dates back about 30 years. It's about a half-mile walk in to a grove of Texas Buckeyes, which bloom white, yellow, creamy-colored flowers that are about 8 to 9 inches long. And originally, that piece of property was owned by Joseph Metzger. It's an old portions of it are an old dairy operation. Some of you that have lived in Dallas for many years might remember the Mr. M food store chain. And Mr. M was an abbreviated play on Joseph Metzger's name. It's a fabulous walk this time of year in the next several weeks. A lot of credit goes to two men that have that were the real saviors of that area. One is the late Ned Fritz, master naturalist and conservationist, and the other is Jim Flood, who for the past 10 to 15 years has been the trail steward of the Buckeye Trail property, those lands. And he leads guided hikes down into the Great Trinity Forest. And those, I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about the Great Trinity Forest or how to get your feet wet into that area. And
so Jim, to speak, right?
Yeah. And Jim Flood offers a tremendous opportunity to experience the Great Trinity Forest for the first time. And it is an extensive hike where he goes up. It's easy to walk. Mm-hmm. I think that anyone from 8 to 80 could do that walk very easily. And it serves as a great primer into North Texas and Trinity River ecology.
And Bill, you picked the Buckeye Trail as one of your favorites too. Talk a little bit about it. We got about a minute before our break, but talk a little bit about what you see along that trail.
The thing I really like about that trail is going to be in the next, I'd say, 3 to 4 weeks, and it's one of our native grasses, the Virginia wild rye, starts getting green, and it's just a verdant carpet through there. It's really one of my favorite spots on the whole area. It's very flat. You walk all the way down to the Buckeye Grove, which is right along the Trinity River. Ben and I have seen great horned owls there, barred owls, lots of hawks, and the thing is, what, 10 minutes from downtown Dallas, and you feel like you're in a different world. It's got a very remote, primitive feel to it.
Well, this hour we're talking about the wild places in North Texas with our guests, Ben Sandifer, Dana Wilson, and Bill Holston. We'd love for you to join the conversation. You can call us at 800-933-5372. Email us your questions, comments, your favorite places to hike. You can send those to think@kera.org, or you can send me a tweet. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Stay with us. We'll have more of our conversation in a couple of minutes.
Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education, offering the SMU Summer Youth with hands-on workshops in robotics, Minecraft, game design, and visual arts for students entering K through 12 at SMU's Plano campus. Online registration is now open at smu.edu/summeryouth.
You're tuned in to Think on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. I'm Jeff Whittington. In today for Chris Boyd. We're talking about the wild places all over North Texas and how to get to them and hike through them. We're talking with Bill Holston, an avid hiker. You might recognize his name because he's also executive director of the Human Rights Initiative of North Texas. He writes occasionally for D Magazine as well and has a piece coming up in the April issue with photographs from one of our other guests, Ben Sandifer, who writes extensively about the history of the wild places in North Texas and what's being done to preserve them at his blog, which is DallasTrinityTrails.blogspot.com. And as a matter of fact, you can probably find information about any of the places we're talking about on that site. So just Google Dallas Trinity Trails and you can find that. And our other guest is Dana Wilson, who's formerly with Audubon Dallas, currently works with the Texas Conservation Alliance and the North Texas Master Naturalist Program. You can join the conversation on the phone at 800-933-5372 or via email to think@kera.org. You can also send me a tweet. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. So, Dana, we were talking about places to go hiking here in North Texas, and you said that you like to squeeze in a hike before a ball game or before going out to dinner, and you listed the Tandy Hills area over in Fort Worth as one of your favorite places. Talk a little bit about where that is.
Well, it's just an awesome spot. It's just about 20 minutes west of the ballpark. And as you're driving into Fort Worth, there's the big towers for Channel 11. And off on your left, there are those steep hills. And that's all Tandy Hills. You park on Meadowbrook Drive. But it's really on the escarpment as you drive into Fort Worth. So it's very hilly. There's some awesome bike trails for the bike riders over there. But it's many hundreds of acres. Up and down the hillside, it's really remarkable. It's very wild, full of trout lilies, full of great plants, but in the distance is the downtown Fort Worth skyline. So it's kind of a surreal experience to be going up and down those hills and looking at Fort Worth in the distance. It's very beautiful.
Now, people think of North Texas as a pretty flat area, right? There's no mountain range, right, outside our back door. But you're talking about an escarpment and a lot of elevation change, and that's the same escarpment, I guess, that's mirrored on the other side of Dallas-Fort Worth with the Dogwood Canyon Audubon Center and the Cedar Ridge Nature Preserve. Talk a little bit about what that escarpment is and what it means when you say the escarpment.
Gentlemen, correct me, was a glacier that came through there that caused that?
No, it's just an uplift. So it's built on 100-million-year-old Austin chalk limestone, mm-hmm. and just natural uplift in the area that just stands out as a real interesting piece of topography that has, you know, been will take you from North Texas straight to the Texas Hill Country all within a 5 to 10 minute drive. It is excellent place to get away from it all in this part of DFW.
Bill, your list included the Cedar Ridge Nature Preserve, which is right down there. It's managed by Audubon Dallas. It's right down there with the Dogwood Canyon area along southern Dallas County, along the escarpment. What do you love about Cedar Ridge?
Well, I guess, first of all, I've got a lot of personal history there. I started hiking there with my kids back when it was the Dallas Nature Center. It's got a very primitive feel to it. It's all dirt trails. There's maybe 10, 12 miles of trails there. There's a bit of topography, the elevation. I think it's around 550, 600 feet, something like that.
Closer to 700.
700. Mm-hmm. And there's some intermittent streams that run through there. So after a rain, it can get muddy, but there's also some nice little waterfalls with the limestone ledges with the water falling over it. When you're in that, in the middle of that preserve, you don't feel like you're in a park. You feel like you're out in the woods, really, really removed.
And that's ultimately what we're talking about here, right? Getting away from the rat race, so to speak, and seeing places that you don't normally feel like you're in the city. But Cedar Ridge is, I've noticed, has had a lot more traffic lately. People are really, really embracing it and using it. What does it take to preserve a place that's heavily used like Cedar Ridge? Dana, I'm looking at you because you're the panelist who's worked with Audubon here.
Well, it's a challenge. I think we're lucky to have such a there's a lot of committed volunteers in Dallas who are out there working on our open spaces and really all the places we've talked about. They're being taken care of by really committed volunteers. Spring Creek Forest, the Friends Group at Cedar Ridge, there's a fantastic Friends Group there. So I think there's, of course, you need to start off with a commitment from whoever the highest levels are, and then support for the work of the volunteers and the staff. And the more you see that, Cedar Ridge is a great example. They're behind that property. The volunteers have support. So they've really done wonderful things out there. The same thing at Spring Creek Forest.
800-933-5372 is our telephone number. And let's go to the phones and get a call from Sam in Mansfield. Hello, Sam.
Hey, how's it going, Jeff?
It's going
enjoying
well.
Enjoying the show today. I've got a question, and that's actually a great segue to one of the volunteer organizations, the Master Naturalist. And I'm curious, and Dana, hello, Dana.
Hello, Sam.
Good to hear you. I'm curious if you can give the listeners some more information about the Master Naturalist and how to be a member, how to be a part of, how to be a volunteer.
Yeah, and what does it do?
I can, and I know I've met Bill through the Master Naturalist, so I know he really wants to promote this organization as well. It's a great organization sponsored by AgriLife Extension and Texas Parks and Wildlife. It's really a part of getting people out into nature, creating citizen science, creating volunteer activities of all different types to involve people with nature. Their website in this area is www.ntmn.org. North Texas Master Naturalist, and that's the Dallas chapter. However, there are several chapters around in the area, Ellis County, Collin County, so you could just Google Texas Master Naturalist and find your program. They have an extensive training program and then ongoing activities, and they're a powerful, powerful voice for conservation and for hands-on work and for volunteering.
Bill, anything to add about Master Naturalists?
Yeah, if you're one of those people like I was several years ago, who was spending a lot of time in the outdoors here but was tired of not knowing anything about the woods that you were walking through or the grasses you were walking through, the Master Naturalist program is perfect. They're very, very experienced lecturers that give lectures on our forests and our waters, our plants. And you'll become very informed on everything that's in our North Texas area by participating in that. And the other thing, it's training up these volunteers so that because the governments either don't have or don't wish to commit the resources to take care of these places, it really falls on really highly committed volunteers to do it.
800-933-5372 is the telephone number. You can also email us, think@kera.org. Let's get another call from Austin in Dallas. Hello, Austin.
Good mid-afternoon, folks.
Same to you.
Yeah. I have a question because I hear all this stuff in the city about the Trinity. Oh, let's put a lake here and a path here and a highway here. But, like, talking about the lakes and stuff, from an environmentalist perspective, what kind of improvements could be made that would actually be an environmentalist improvement over just the regular native prairie that it is?
Everyone's looking at you, Ben.
Well, that's a great question. I think that the real issue is habitat restoration and habitat preservation. Most people are unaware that inside the city of Dallas, inside Loop 12, there's a reproducing white-tailed deer population, that there are threatened and endangered species of birds, migratory birds, that fly up from South America during the summers, the wood storks and roseate spoonbills. There's bird rookeries, birds that communally nest along the Trinity River that need to have space and wetlands and some buffer distance in which to live. And as the Trinity River Project comes into being and going places that it's never gone before, it's important to remember the preservation of these riparian environments for the future.
Well, what are some of the things you're most excited about happening in the Great Trinity Forest? Because there's been a lot more attention on things that are going on. So what are some of the things that you think might be really great for conservation and for getting people out there to see this gem that we have here?
Well, I hope that more people become engaged in the Trinity River. There's so much that is still yet to be discovered. So many plant species. In the last year, master naturalists have gone out and found and documented plant species that many thought didn't exist in Dallas County. They were plants that the last person who documented seeing them was Julian Rivershawn, the famed botanist from the La Reunion colony here in Dallas. He was the last person to see them, and now a lot of these plants are being found again here in the 21st century. And it's a very exciting time, and I hope that anyone that's interested can hitch their wagon to the North Texas Master Naturalists and come out and see some of these places or read about them or, you know, drive down and park at the Audubon Center and go out and go out beyond their property line and see what's in the woods.
Yeah, when you look at the Google map of Dallas now, it actually says Great Trinity Forest over this. There's a big blob of green, whether you're looking at the satellite picture or the map. And I've always been curious, you know, everything's bigger and better in Dallas, right? So we have this great, amazing forest. How did we end up with this, with such a huge area of hardwood forest?
I think that over time, Dallas has forgotten about the Great Trinity Forest. They've forgotten about the Trinity River bottoms. We moved north. We moved out into the suburbs. And a lot of the old timers who used to go down there and hunt and fish and play golf and things, that information just wasn't passed on to the next generation who moved elsewhere. And so what we're left with, I think the best example I can give is going up into your grandmother's attic and finding a bunch of old stuff that everyone thought didn't exist anymore or was thrown away, looking through your old closets and finding things that you're like, wow, this is really interesting. Where did this come from? And you have to go back into the old archives of the Dallas Morning News or go ask some of the grandsons of the people who first developed the land down there what all this means. And there's just such a rich history down there.
Well, and so before we move on from talking about the Trinity specifically, I want to get you to talk a little bit about Big Spring. And I know, Bill, this is a place that you're really fond of as well.
Yes, it's the last remaining natural spring in this area that's really pristine. It's a area that history tells us that John Neely Bryan camped there. The Beeman family settled down there. It's it's really astonishing that there's a place where you can drink water right out of the mouth of a spring here in Dallas County. People just don't believe there's any such thing. And then sitting right on the banks of that spring is a, I don't know how old, bur oak that's what's the name of the organization, the Tree Coalition?
The Texas Historic Tree Coalition dedicated the bur oak about a year ago. And they think it's anywhere from 300 to 600 years old. And forms kind of the nucleus of the Big Spring site. The water in Big Spring is crystal clear. It runs about 60 to 65 degrees year-round. And we did, as volunteers, we did water testing on it. And I water test the site monthly, but radiocarbon dating testing, if that site dates it to the late Archaic. So the water coming out of the ground there dates back to the 12th to 13th century. It's ancient water. It's a spectacular site. Dallas was founded on a lot of spring sites in the area. So we have a lot of street names, Cedar Springs, Keller Springs. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of springs in this area that no longer exist, and Big Spring is one of the last ones.
And this is not just a site that settlers of Dallas, who created the city of Dallas, use. This is a site that has an archaeological record as well.
Right. There's an archaeological site there that dates back, we think, probably all Caddo, but maybe older. We don't know yet because an archaeological excavation hasn't been done yet. But we think that it probably dates back to that era. A lot of the preliminary investigations on that site date those archaeological artifacts back to that time of the late Archaic. And the thing I want people to understand about Big Spring is, if you're listening to this, that spring is for you. It's city. It's public property. And in the next year or so, hopefully that area will become, through a city landmark process, an open place that people of all ages and can come and experience and see something like that. I think that that's a fundamental part of Big Spring is sharing such a vital and important part of Texas history, of American history, with all citizens.
800-933-5372 is our telephone number. You can also email us your questions to think@kera.org. Jim emailed and asks a question about the Buckeye Trail. Are leashed dogs welcome on the Buckeye Trail with or without the tour?
Yes.
Yes. It's part of Rochester Park. Portions of it were renamed after William Blair, the newspaper publisher and former popular baseball player. Rochester Park is a City of Dallas park. Mm. So whatever you can do at White Rock Lake, you could probably do at Rochester Park, walk a dog, go take a picnic,
So these trails are all these places are pretty much dog friendly. We got a question from Michael to think@kera.org, also asking to identify trails that are suitable for mountain bikes and dog friendly. Are these places that we've talked about open for bikes? I know that Cedar Ridge Preserve and Dogwood Canyon, those are not open for biking.
No, I don't think that Rochester, the Buckeye Trail, for instance, wouldn't work out well for a mm-hmm. mountain bike because there's so many down tree limbs right. and different things that the flow doesn't exist. There's a great website and a great organization called DORBA, DORBA.org.
The Dallas Off-Road Bicycle
right.
Association.
And they have a wide variety of bicycle trails, that mountain biking trails that are available inside the Metroplex. One of the finest off-road bicycle racing organizations in the United States. One of the largest, too. Very great volunteer work. They have thousands of volunteers that work on trails.
Well, we could probably do a show on mountain biking sure. in North Texas, and that's something we'll put on the list for the future. But this hour, we're talking about hiking in and around North Texas with Ben Sandifer, Dana Wilson, and Bill Holston. We'd love for you to join the conversation as well. Call us at 800-933-5372. Email us think@kera.org, or you can send me a tweet. I'm @JeffWhittington on Twitter. We'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education, offering the SMU Summer Youth with hands-on workshops in robotics, Minecraft, game design, and visual arts for students entering K-12 at SMU's Plano campus. Online registration is now open at smu.edu/summeryouth.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1 in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. I'm Jeff Whittington, in today for Chris Boyd. We're talking about the wild places in North Texas and how to see them. We're talking about various areas you can hike today with Ben Sandifer, who blogs at dallastrinitytrails.blogspot.com. We've also got Bill Holston, who works with the Human Rights Initiative of North Texas, but he's also an avid hiker, has a piece about hiking in D Magazine that is the April issue. I'm told it hits newsstands March 19th, and that piece is also going to have photographs by Ben Sandifer. We're also joined by Dana Wilson, formerly with Audubon Dallas. She currently works with the Texas Conservation Alliance and the North Texas Master Naturalist Program. You can join the conversation by calling 800-933-5372. You can email us, think@kera.org, or you can send me a tweet. I'm @JeffWhittington on Twitter. We've got a tweet, actually, from Ted, wondering what the guests think about balancing concrete trails with dirt trails in sensitive areas. Also, Ted notes that we do want the public to have access to these places. Bill, I know you talk about this a little bit and think about this some. What do you think about that?
Well, I think about it a lot. I realize there's a tension there. There are people with mobility disabilities, and they need the access to nature just like the rest of us. And so, having a certain amount of paved trails for people like that is important. On the other hand, there's really not a way to feel that sense of wildness on concrete. Not to mention the fact that concrete has a real footprint. When they build a 10-foot trail, it's got a 25-foot footprint, and a lot of trees and plants get destroyed in order to do that. But primarily it's that if for those of us who want to get out in the woods in order to get away from our stressful jobs and just spend some time in quiet, walking on dirt really can't be replaced.
Now, a lot of people probably say, gosh, how do I go out in the woods, and is it safe to go out in the woods? And that's probably something that keeps a lot of people from going out and enjoying these places. And I know that each of you hike on your own and hike in groups. What do you think about that? Is it safe to go out in the woods, or what precautions should people take before they head out into the woods?
I think that there are many trails in the area that are very safe because there's so many people around. You can look at a place like Arbor Hills that has large numbers of people, Spring Creek and Garland, River Legacy Park in Arlington, Cedar Ridge Preserve, any of the local Audubon centers, Dogwood Canyon and the Trinity River Audubon Center, all are very safe places to hike. Of course, I enjoy going the real wild untamed places, and there's always not just a sense of personal security, but one of making sure that other people know where you're at in case something happens. But that's, part of the fun of going some of these places is getting away from everything, getting into the wild.
Dana, what do you think about that, personal security on the trail?
Yeah, I agree. It's great to get off by yourself, and really you can't have that experience of you alone in the woods with a huge crowd on concrete. I guess if you want to get off and do that, go the first time or two with a friend. Go on a crowded weekend. If you're not a big hiker, go to some of the places that Ben mentioned first to familiarize yourself before you go. For example, if you're going to go to the Buckeye Trail, I probably wouldn't encourage anybody who wants to hike to go down there by themselves the first time and figure it all out. There's so many good walks between the Master Naturalist website and Ben's blog. Going with a group even once just to get your bearings and see how familiar and comfortable you are with a group. If you're comfortable then, maybe start launching off more on your own after you've just explored a little bit.
Now, it's spring break for most people here in North Texas, and those of our listeners who are at home with their kids today and looking out and seeing the wet weather, it's going to be really nice by the end of the week. And but maybe they're thinking, oh, this is a great idea. I'll take the family for a hike. What's a good place to start with kids in the woods, say later this week when it dries up a little bit? What would you suggest?
I think Cedar Ridge is really a great start for people. I carried my kids in backpacks when they were 6 months old there, and it's really a pretty spot.
I'd give a nod to Dogwood Canyon as well. In fact, you could go down there and hit them both in the same day. Mm-hmm. One thing, if you're going down with kids, they both have public restrooms, so practically speaking, that's good to know. But both of them with over spring break, you might check the websites. I suspect they're offering some special activities for families, special guided hikes. Dogwood Canyon and Cedar Ridge both have easier, more flat trails to get started with, and then some of the more rough and tumble hiking. So there's a little something for everybody there.
800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go next on the phone and talk to Jim in Dallas. Hello, Jim.
Hi, thanks. I appreciate all the work these people do to keep this place somewhat natural. I'd like to know about creeks as places to hike. I used to enjoy doing that when I was a kid. Spent hours and hours down in creek bottoms just following them around. So thanks a lot.
Sure. Thoughts on creeks?
Well, I guess I'd say first, where we're all smiling and nodding our heads as you were asking that question, there's something about running water that's just the sound of running water, which is just soothing the savage beast within us. That's one of the reasons I like Spring Creek Forest in Garland. There's also a Spring Creek Preserve, Nature Preserve in Richardson. Both of those they're different branches of Spring Creek. Those are beautiful creeks, and there are lots of places to get down close to the water.
Favorite creeks, Ben?
Spring Creek would probably rank up fairly high, only because it's has a number of limestone cliffs and escarpments, and the water's real clear through that area. actually a lot of smaller parks on 10 Mile Creek and 5 Mile Creek and Oak Cliff, the Coombs Creek Trail that goes through the Kessler Park neighborhood and Oak Cliff. It's just basically where you find it. If you grew up as a kid in this area, you know where there are a lot of creeks and trails that are kind of off the beaten path that are interesting to walk. And White Rock Creek offers some of those north of White Rock Lake. If you get off the pavement, you can hike up towards Skillman and Abrams up the fishing trails there. They're pretty good.
800-933-5372. Let's get a call from another Ben in Fort Worth. Hey, Ben.
Hi. I just wanted to plug the Fort Worth Nature Center. I live only about 15 minutes away from that, and I go out there every Sunday and hike. It's a $5 per adult admission fee.
Tell us where it is, Ben.
It's off the Jacksboro Highway. You have to drive all the way through Fort Worth, get on the Jacksboro Highway, which, let's see, it's crossed by Loop 820, if that helps. And you continue northwest, and there's signs for it. You can't miss it.
So what do you love about it?
Well, there's a certain trail that's, I'm guessing it's about 4 miles long. It takes me an hour and a half to do it if I don't stop and look at things and take pictures. And it's really wild out there. And that particular trail that I take, oftentimes I don't see people. Sometimes I do, depending on the weather. Sometimes I see deer, coyotes, birds of prey, birds, all kinds. And right now, to me, we're coming to the best time to go hiking because the wildflowers will be blooming pretty soon. So the trail, some of the trails out there, or the trail I like, has wildflowers, native grasses. I think there's something therapeutic about hiking in the outdoors.
Well, Ben, thanks so much for your call.
Sure.
Everybody in the studio here is nodding their heads. When do you choose to? When is the best time to get out and hit the trail?
Well, obviously, time of year would be the next coming few months here in Dallas up until Memorial Day. But I would really encourage people to get out and hit their alarm clock for maybe 5 or 5:30 in the morning on some Saturday morning, and get out at sunrise on the Trinity or at any of these places that have their gates open early in the morning. Often Bill Holston and I will hike at 6 at dawn in the morning, and we'll be done by 10:30 a.m. And you don't miss out on – your friends aren't really awake or stirring up. You don't miss any meals. You don't miss out on your life. Both of us have – we all have very busy lives. And those golden hours of early mornings on Saturdays are really the best time to get out and see a lot of – if you want to see wildlife, you want to see birds, you want to see the quiet times of the day, then early morning is the best time to do it.
One thing I'd like to add, I agree that the spring is a great time to hike here, but I'd really encourage – this is a year-round hiking area other than perhaps the deadliest part of August when there's just not much growing or happening. We have mild winters here. The fall is wonderful. There's spots here in the Piedmont area of Dallas with great fall colors with the red oaks changing. And by hiking at the same place in different seasons, you see an entirely different trail every time you go in a different season.
We got an email at think@kera.org from Kirsty in Dallas. She says, I'm surprised no one has mentioned Oak Cliff Nature Preserve. Kirsty says, it's my favorite place to hike in Dallas, an oasis in the middle of the city. There are a couple of places in Oak Cliff that to hike. I know, Bill, you've written about Oak Cliff Nature Preserve. And Danny, you mentioned, is it 12 Hills?
12 Hills, yeah. It's a great little pocket park. It's only 5 acres, but it's just about 5 minutes from the Bishop Arts District. This is another one where if you're running early to meet your friends for happy hour, you can pop over to 12 Hills. It's on Mary Cliff Road, and it's just a long loop. But when you're there and you're looking at it, remember that was abandoned and reclaimed apartments were torn down there, and they've been doing an awesome prairie restoration. Again, all volunteer. So it's a quick out and back, but a beautiful, beautiful park with a great grass and flower community.
800-933-5372 is our phone number. Let's talk to Andonia calling from Dallas. Hello, Andonia.
Hello. I am loving your guys' show today.
Thank you
so much for having me on.
Sure.
I would love to know, I'm an avid hiker, and I find myself practicing safe hiking kind of just as a second nature. But for those who are interested in hiking and may be concerned about some of the wildlife, such as poisonous snakes and spiders, what would be some suggestions that you would have to make sure that they're safe in that way while they hike?
Well, I echo what Dana said earlier. You know, I grew up in the Deep South, and so my entire youth I was told, be careful, you know, be scared of snakes. And so I was mostly terrified of them growing up. I've had no unpleasant encounters with any kind of reptile while I was hiking. Like Dana said, they're more afraid of you than you are of them. That said, watch your step. Don't reach into places where snakes might be their habitat.
There are only three venomous snakes in the Dallas area: rattlesnakes, copperheads, and water moccasins. And rattlesnakes you'll only find west of far western Dallas County, Cedar Hill State Park, Dogwood Canyon, that area into Fort Worth. Copperheads you'll only usually find in brush piles or underneath bricks and rocks and rubble material. And then water moccasins you'll find usually in water. And if you can keep an eye out in those places, rock piles, log piles, and in still or slightly sluggish water, you can avoid snakes.
Now, you when you go out early in the morning, you mentioned the white-tailed deer population. There are also predators out there that control those white-tailed deer, right? But that's not anything that anybody needs to worry about either.
No, it's a fascinating study. SMU has, through the Gaffney Family Initiative, is doing a lot of game camera projects down in the Great Trinity Forest. And some of that is research into bobcats and coyotes and white-tailed deer. Some of their finest students that attend SMU are involved in this project and are cataloging bobcats and some of these other apex predator species in the Great Trinity Forest. And unless you're a rabbit or a squirrel or a rat or a mouse, I don't think you have anything to worry about, because all their game camera pictures are of small little furry things that they're taking home to eat for dinner.
Well, I want to thank each of you for being here today. Ben Sandifer writes about hiking and conservation at dallastrinitytrails.blogspot.com. You can also see his photographs in the upcoming issue of D Magazine as part of a piece that Bill Holston has written. You heard Bill Holston here as well this hour. He's executive director of the Human Rights Initiative of North Texas. And watch for that piece about hiking in the April issue of D Magazine. Dana Wilson, formerly with Audubon Dallas, currently works with Texas Conservation Alliance and is very involved in the North Texas Master Naturalist Program. Thanks to all of you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks much.
Think is produced by Stephen Becker, engineered by Shelley Canavy. Lindsay Connect is our associate producer. You can find me on Twitter, of course. I'm at Jeff Whittington, and you can contact us via email at think@kera.org. Once again, I am Jeff Whittington, in for Chris Boyd today, and thank you very much for listening.